This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. Greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. We welcome all you listeners, wherever you may be, and we give the Lord all the glory and all the honor for what He's going to do with us with this program today. So we greet you in the love of the Lord, and we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. Don and I are on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 in the afternoon, and we're honored to be here with you, and we love you, and I'm just telling you right up front to have ears to hear what the Spirit's going to talk to you about today. And here we are on the fifth day of Hanukkah, right, Pastor Donna?
Yes, sir.
And we covered a lot about Hanukkah last week, but we're going to talk a little bit more about it because we've got a few more days. And so I'm going to turn this over to my precious wife here, Pastor Donna, and we'll see what she's got to say, and then we'll start and do a little teaching here with you today in Yeshua's name. Amen?
Well, as we've been, I want to say hello to everyone.
Everyone.
I want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey on Andros Island. We forgot to do that last week, but they're ministering and have a church over there. It's called the Temple of God.
Hallelujah.
So we'll say hello to them. Building a church, and the roof is going to be going on soon. So lots happened already, but there's still more to be done. So hello to you all over there.
Hallelujah.
And if anybody's interested in knowing anything about the ministry in the Bahamas on Andros Island, you can give us a phone call. We'll give you our number in a few moments.
Yes.
Amen. So we are blessed to be on here. We also want to mention that this radio teaching is on the internet. So if you have friends or relatives anywhere in the world and you want to tell them about WCNO or this Raising the Standard with our teachings, feel free to do that. It's WCNO.com.
Hallelujah.
And you can add that to your device, and you have a wonderful radio station on your phone or your device. Amen. I have it on my phone, listen to it from time to time. So it's a wonderful blessing for us to be able to not just be in this area, Stewart, Port St. Lucie, and goes to Fort Pierce and Fort Lauderdale and out to Okeechobee. And even in the islands, they can hear us. But by way of internet, you can listen from anywhere, any distance, which is a real blessing to the ministry. But I do want to mention that we do have services here in Stewart, Florida. We have meetings on Friday night at 7 p.m. We have our Shabbat meeting, and then Sunday at 11. And we will be having a service tomorrow at 11, and we'll be celebrating Hanukkah.
Amen.
And so, amen. We celebrate Hanukkah, and we celebrate all the feasts of the Lord. Hanukkah, as we've been teaching for the last couple of weeks, we know it's in 8 days. 8 days, it's called the Feast of Dedication, and it begins on Kislev 25, and we've talked about that. And we're going to talk about how it's going to happen, things are going to happen in the end times. But, lighting the candles, you can have more than one Hanukkah candle. It has nine branches on it, nine branches, the candelabra, and there's one for each night, and there's one in the center which represents the Lord.
That's right.
Amen.
He's the light of the world.
He's the light of the world.
That's right.
We know that Jesus said that He was the light of the world in John chapter 8, and also in chapter 9. And so he said, Yeshua said, he's the light of the world. So we need to return to knowing who he is, and he also was at the Feast of Dedication. It tells us that in John 10:22-29, that Jesus celebrated Hanukkah. That's in the New Testament. And, of course, the word Hanukkah, sometimes it's spelt more than one way. It can be H-A-N-U-K-K-A-H. Some people spell it C-H-A-N-U-K-A-H. A couple different ways of spelling it, but it means dedication.
That's what it means.
Feast of Dedication.
Yes.
So as we dedicate our life to the Lord, fresh and anew, every day, really every day, but this is a special time because this is a time of miracles.
That's right.
And miracles happen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And Pastor Jean said, this is a fifth day. Mm-hmm. And so we will be lighting the Hanukkah candles again on Sunday, which is the first day of the week. And then, of course, it will go end up. It'll end on Wednesday of next week. So we're just blessed to be here, and I want to give our phone number here. It's area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. Mm-hmm. And it's important that we know the true meaning of Hanukkah, because, you know, the Bible says, and the King James says, the truth shall make you free. And so we know that Hanukkah was not one of the seven feasts, but actually it is part of one of the seven feasts, because the Feast of Tabernacles was stopped. And so Hanukkah is really a mirror picture of the Feast of Tabernacles. So they really are joined as one. And they really, and Hanukkah really will play an important role in the last days, the very last days, which we're upon right now. Mm-hmm. So if you'd like to know more about some of the feasts of the Lord, you can give Pastor Gene a call, and we would be glad to talk to you or pray with you, and just pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you come to him and you dedicate your life afresh and anew during this season. You know, this is a season of joy. Well, Hanukkah is a season of joy also, because Hanukkah is a time when they dance and they sing and they have the dreidel. And, you know, they have a lot of joyful things that they do to celebrate it, because it's what really started, set the temple back in order, because it had been destroyed and desecrated, and it was set back in order, and they started to celebrate again. Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So we're going to talk about what? Over in Daniel.
And we're going to go to Daniel here today. We covered quite a bit, but we talked last week and mentioned many times that Antiochus Epiphanes IV was an exact pattern of what the false Messiah is going to be in Jacob's
in
trouble. And we're going to look at a couple things with that today just to kind of show you this. And so God gave us a foreshadow, and he gave a lot of information here in Daniel chapter 11. But if we don't know a little bit about the Greek history and all, we can miss out. But if we go through 11, most of the time we can pick out which king this was. And think about this. Now, Antiochus Epiphanes was the eighth king that came out of the Seleucid Empire. Where did the Seleucid Empire came from? It was Seleucus was one of the generals that helped Alexander the Great to conquer the world in, 13 years or so. And so, or 30 years, whatever it was, I forget what the time was, but it was done very quickly. And so, when we mentioned that last week, when Alexander the Great died, he didn't give his kingdom to his posterity, to any of his family members or anything, but he gave it to the four generals that helped him conquer the world, which was amazing when you think about that. So he gave a section to the north, the south, east, and the west. Well, Daniel 11 and the things that God wants us to know is only about the king of the north and the king of the south. Well, the north was the group called the Seleucids, okay? And the group in the south, which was Egypt, was called the Ptolemies. And so we see these wars going on in Daniel 11. And if you know a little bit about history, you can go through this and just about pick out which king it is that was in control at a particular time. And so we talked about most of that last week, because we have all these foreshadows of what Antiochus Epiphanes brought into being. And we know that when he came into Jerusalem, You know, he came in swiftly under peace to start with, and what he destroyed 40,000 of the Jewish people. And it seems like most of the people just followed whatever he wanted to do. They were afraid. And so there was a group of people called the Maccabees, and we know that Judah the Maccabee was the son of a priest in the temple at that time. And so some things were done that was terrible. You know, they desecrated the temple and the altar. They sacrificed a pig on that altar, and they urinated on that altar. All kinds of crazy things that were terrible abominations to God. Well, anyway, Judah the Hammer, I like him. The Hammer is what he was called. He was bold, and one family decided to stand up, and they were going to do something about it. So they stood up. A lot of other people came around him also. So there, I don't know, there was 200 or 300 of them that were willing to do this. And so they ran to the mountains, and they did this warfare for 3 years and 70 days that we talked about before. And so they took the temple area back, and the Seleucids, they left. And so then we had the Maccabees were there with all the people that followed him. And I think about the 40,000 that died, Pastor Donna. Just think about 40,000 people died in that area when he came in.
They died because they weren't going to compromise.
That's right.
See, the other people were afraid because they knew if they didn't do what they told them that they were going to, they would kill them.
That's right.
So, but many people died because they weren't going to compromise.
They weren't. They said they would not compromise in any way, shape,
or form. They killed the children, mothers, pregnant mothers, babies.
Mm-hmm.
It was terrible.
That's right. So that was the history of it. And so they went in there, and when they got there, they found out how bad the temple was. So they took all the trash and everything out, and then they had to have a moment to rededicate the temple.
Cleanse it.
And to cleanse it. And so they found a menorah, but they only found one flask of oil, which was enough to last one candle to burn one day. So they lit the one candle.
Oil.
The oil. And so then they started making the oil. But the miraculous thing about it was that God allowed those other candles to continue to burn all the way out to the end over through with one flask of oil. That was the miracle. It kept being reproduced and reproduced. And so all those candles continued to light until the very last one, and they had them all lit.
Now, when we say candles, we think of candlesticks, but these were not candlesticks. You know, we use candlesticks now for our menorah, mm-hmm. but they used oil. It was
right.
The oil.
Oil.
There was a wick in the oil.
A wick in it, that's right. Yeah. So, so it was called, later on, they call it what? A festival of lights, because of the lights, that was what it was all about. And it just corresponds with what we talked about tabernacles. And we might mention this again. We can prove in the scriptures in Luke 1 and 2 that Yeshua was conceived at Hanukkah. That's when he was conceived, not born, at Hanukkah. And then we go those 280 days in the future, the normal time for a birth, and we come to the Feast of Tabernacles. And so both of those appointed time, one's appointed time, one was not appointed time, but God used it because of what the enemy came against his people. He never forgets when somebody comes against his people. So both of those appointed time and also Hanukkah were festivals of what? Of light. And so there's a reason for that. And so it's amazing how God used all the devastation and all the situation that they went through, how bad it was. He used that at that time. And then in the future, what about less than 200 years in the future, he chose that time to have his son conceived in Mary's womb. Amazing.
Yeshua went into there during Hanukkah, and that's when he declared that he was the light of the world.
That's right.
At that very time. And they knew what Hanukkah was all about because during Yeshua's time, Yeshua celebrated Hanukkah.
Sure.
So he celebrated Hanukkah. Why shouldn't we celebrate Hanukkah?
That's right.
Because it represents him. It represents the light that he is. But it's interesting, you know, that we're going to be, it's not only for the past and for when Yeshua came, but it's also going to have an effect in the future.
That's right.
So why don't we talk a little bit about what's going to happen?
So we're going to talk about
the future
part of it. Right.
Because there is an Antichrist who's going to come upon the scene.
Absolutely.
And you know, it's interesting. We talk about our calendar, or the Jewish calendar, the Hebrew calendar, which we have available. If anybody would like a copy of it, it would send it to you. It's a circle calendar, and you can see it. And you can see God is he works in a cycle, like a circle. It's not parallel lines. It's a circle. And so you can see how things repeat themselves, and they always repeat themselves on God's time, in God's timetable. God has a certain time. It's not just, things don't just happen any old time. God has already set up the schedule and the timetable, and things happen exactly when he says it's going to happen.
That's right.
He's not going to miss it by one day.
That's right. So I'm going to go to Daniel chapter 11 with you if you're at home, and you can open up your Bible, or you know, if you're someplace, you got your scriptures on your phone. So I'm going to be reading out of the King James Bible. I'm just going to back up here where I'm going to start and share a little things about Antiochus to start with. I'm going to start in verse...
Who's Antiochus?
This is the man that came out of the Seleucid Empire,
okay,
that been corrupted the temple area and all that. He's the eighth king that came out of that empire. The beauty of this is interesting also is that after him, God doesn't talk about one more of the kings from the north. No more kings from the north, and there's several of them after that.
So we're going to relate him to the Antichrist.
That's right.
Okay.
It's parallel. So I'm just going to read verse 27 with you here. These two kings from the north and the south got together. It says in verse 27, and both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table. Sounds like what we got going in our country today.
Wow.
But it shall not prosper, for yet the end shall be at the time appointed. Then shall he, this is Antiochus, return unto his land which with great riches, and his heart shall be against the holy covenant, and he shall do exploits. Now, I thought about this word exploits. It's in italics in the Bible. And so I was wondering, was this good exploits or was it bad? Well, these exploits here, the word actually means in the with the Hebrew and all, in my 1828 Webster's Dictionary, it actually means damage.
Damage.
So he shall do damage and return to his own land. At the time appointed, he shall return and come toward the south, but it shall not be as the former or as the latter. So there's a war going on there between the north and the south. But God was only interested in the kingdom of the north. Now, verse 30, now all of a sudden, the topic begins to change. Now we jump out to the future. God is talking about what we're seeing in Daniel is a preview, a pattern of what was going to happen in the future.
A foreshadow.
That's what it is. So now we start in verse 30, and we'll see what this, we're going to read a little bit here. For the ships of Chittim. Now, Chittim was a name that was used in that time. About the Romans were coming at that time. You know, the Romans took over that kingdom, actually, you know, before it came to a complete conquering of a huge part of the world, the Romans came and they shut all that down. And so we know that the Romans were the ones that came then and was in place at the time when Yeshua was born and all that. So that's what this Chittim, talking about the ships that come from the Roman Empire.
They came against him.
That's right. Shall come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved and return and have an indignation against the Holy Covenant. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the Holy Covenant. So what is it? It said this. I like this word intelligent. It means to show regard for, they have a conversation like this. These two up at the table, we read in verse 27. They're supposedly agreeing on something, but they didn't. So it says right here, and shall have what? Intelligence. There will be a show of regard with one of them together, both of them together, with them that forsake the Holy Covenant. Well, who are the ones that forsake the Holy Covenant? A lot of the people followed after Antiochus Epiphanes and all that, but we're going to have another man come in the future that's going to have the same thing. A lot of the people are going to follow after this false Messiah that's going to come. I always think about this, Pastor Don. We know there's going to be a covenant signed and sealed. Tells us that in Daniel 9, chapter verse 27, I think it is. So we know that's in place and all that. And we see what God's going to do with all that. And so there's going to be an intelligence conversation with who? With the false Messiah's people and what? God's people. And so my question always was how in the world could they come to agreement with what's going to happen over in the Middle East? But somehow that peace treaty is going to be signed. It's interesting.
You know, even today, Pastor Gene, in Israel, they're preparing the priests. They're preparing all the instruments.
That's right.
They have the menorah made. Mm-hmm. They're preparing for the third for the next temple.
Right.
Now, you know, they don't know Yeshua, but these things are going to happen because this is going to be what's going to happen in the end days.
That's it.
So they have to have these plans that are happening now, even though they don't know Yeshua.
Mm-hmm.
These are plans that are all playing part into the future of what's going to happen when the Antichrist comes.
That's
again,
right.
Because they will be worshiping again in a temple, and they will have all these holy instruments, and they already have many of them already made.
That's right.
And they already have the priests in order, and they're training them now. So you know, so when this happens, they're going to be ready.
That's right.
It's like the rehearsal. They're going to be ready. And to just to pick up and to start, and then that's going to start this time clock for to set up this when the Antichrist is going to come in.
That's right.
And do the same thing he did before.
That's right. What Antiochus did, yeah.
Same thing Antiochus did.
Same thing. So you know, we talked here in verse 27 about these two sitting at a table talking with each other. They spoke to speak lies against one another.
Right.
Well, we see over here that in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, it says at the beginning, it says, "And he," this is the false Messiah, "shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." Now, the word here is confirm. It means it must already be in place at this time. And then what? It's put into action.
For 1 week, which is
seven years. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're trying to talk about peace now, and they're trying to come together at a table. But, you know, there's not going to be any agreement.
Nope.
There may be a false agreement, but we know what's going to happen because the Bible tells us exactly what's going
to
happen.
And there's major disagreement now because our president's wanting to move the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Well, the Muslims are upset.
And they're having riots over now because of that.
And I believe with all my heart, that's my opinion from my study, is that the false Messiah is going to be a powerful Muslim cleric, someone that they're going to have confidence in, that the Muslims will follow them, and somehow Israel is going to make a covenant with this guy. I don't know how it's going to happen.
And I'm sure that some of the people here in America, they're going to be throwing a fit too because of what our president
is
doing. So it's really important that we pray for our president because, you know, he's been put in this place because he is helping to fulfill prophecy.
Absolutely. He sure is.
Amen.
So I would just tell anybody, listen, don't have any fear about the last day. Some people are just afraid of it. Look what the scriptures have to say. I read this, it gives me a peace like never before. I know that God's in charge. He's got this all laid out. Everything he said in this book will come to pass. And so if we're walking with the Lord, we don't have to have any concern about it, do we? So let's go on now. I was over here in verse 30. Now we know we're going to see right here with the beginning of this, we're going to see a parallel between the false Messiah and also this Antiochus Epiphanes. Okay. Now verse 31 is one of the key ones here. We talked about this intelligence just before this, with them that forsake the Holy Covenant. A lot of the Jews will turn and go with the false Messiah in the future. And also we see that they did the same thing in Antiochus' day. Now verse 31, this is a key verse. "And arms shall stand on his part." Now we're talking about Antiochus here. "And they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength." What's that? That's the temple area. "And shall take away," here we go, we talked about that last week in Daniel 8, which reveals Hanukkah. Take away what? The daily sacrifices that were required every day at 9 in the morning and 3 in the afternoon. "And they shall place" what? "The abomination that maketh" what? "Desolate." Now I'm going to stop right there. So this is what Antiochus did. He put a statue of Zeus in the temple area, put his face on it, and he declared himself to be God. Now, keep your finger there, and I'm going to go over to 2 Thessalonians with you, and we're going to show you what the Bible says about this, about in the New Testament, okay? We looked at the first covenant, now look at this here now. We're going to look at the second covenant. I'm going to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 with you, amen? Hallelujah. Where I want to go, verse 3. Paul says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away." Now, we've got a lot of talking about falling away, but the Greek word can also mean departure or to be removed, okay? And all these other Bibles that came before the King James, the Geneva and all of them, they had departure in all those Bibles with this until the King James. So there will be a falling away, and I believe it's going to talk to referring here about a catching away. First, see, it says first. "And that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." So he might be on the earth right now, but from what this says, I believe he's not going to be revealed to anyone until what? Till the church is gone. Now, look at verse 4. "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God." Who's that? The false Messiah. "Or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." And then Paul says, "Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things." Amen? So here we go back to Daniel 11 now. So here we see this. Now we know this happened in Antiochus' day, and the same thing's going to happen, what? In Jacob's trouble. So we see a duplication, a pattern of this. Now let's go to verse 32 in Daniel 11. "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." Now we're talking about it, the last days here with the false Messiah, what God's going to have his people to stand up and do. Amen? So here we see the beginning of this. We're coming to the parallel now. We saw what Antiochus has done. Now we're going to see what the false Messiah will do. Now verse 33. "And they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword, and by flame, by captivity, by spoil, many days." So there's going to be a terrible time come in mid-tribulation when all that comes to pass. Verse 34, "Now when they shall fall, they shall be hoping. That word hoping in the King James means they will be helped with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with what? Flatteries. So it means a lot of people are going to follow the false Messiah, thinking he's going to be the Savior of the world. And we know that's a lie. Now, verse 35, and some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. Hear that? There's a time appointed. And we're getting close. We're getting closer every year. Now, verse 36, and the king now, this is the false Messiah we're talking about, shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, small g here, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, against Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, and shall prosper till the indignation. This word indignation is a key word in the King James Bible. It's a word that also refers to Jacob's trouble. Until it shall prosper till the Jacob's trouble be accomplished. For that is determined shall be what? Done. What God said will be done will be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his father. So this is an interesting thought. Neither shall he regard the God of his father. A capital G. And I used to wonder if maybe this was translated wrong. But think about this. The false Messiah, I believe, as I said, he's going to be a Muslim. So where did the Muslims come from? They came from Ishmael. So who was Ishmael's God back in that day?
Abraham.
Abraham. And his father was it. And Abraham and Jacob, well, they worshipped what? The God of Israel.
That's right.
That was their God. Okay. Until they got perverted and all the
That's
things
right.
they had. Neither shall he regard what? The God of it means his forefathers.
Right.
Nor the desire of women. Now, I've heard this about, this guy's going to be a homosexual. No, you look at a lot of the countries that are Muslim today, the women are in such disregard with people. They cannot drive a car. They can't walk down the street with somebody in their, without a man in their family or whatever. So the desire of what women would like to do, he just ignores that. So it says this right here. He says, nor shall he regard the God of his forefathers, nor what the desires of women, what they would like to have done, their desires, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. This is who? The false Messiah. Now, verse 38, but in his estate shall he what? Honor the God of forces. A God of forces. This is interesting, huh? When you think about that. He's going to have all this power, and he's going to have his army, and all that stuff will be there. He shall honor the God of forces.
Demonic forces.
So that God, who is that? Who
Satan.
Is the God? Who's the God of the Muslims today? What do they call him? Huh?
Well, I'd say Satan.
But what's his name? Who do they worship? Allah. That's the God of forces. And a God. I'm sorry, I read that wrong. But in his state shall they honor the God of forces. Okay. Well, we know that means his army. He's taking confidence in what his army and all that can do. And then the next one says, and God of forces, and a God, small g, whom his fathers knew not, his forefathers, shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God. The strange God is Allah, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. And he shall cause them to rule over many and shall divide the land for gain. Woo! At the time of the end, shall the king of the south, who was this? This is the Ptolemies from Egypt, shall push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. He shall enter also into what? The glorious land. Well, what's the glorious land? That's the land of Israel. And many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. Now, we mentioned this last week. Why would these three nations right here be spared? Because they're all Muslim. And if he's a Muslim false Messiah, he's going to protect them. And then verse 42, he shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver and over all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the sea and the glorious holy mountain. Well, we know what that is. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. So it shows you the conclusion of all of it. All right. Now, I had this thought in all this, and we took you to 2 Thessalonians. I want to go to the book of Revelation now with you about this. It says there'll be no fear in this. We got God's holy word, and we know what he's going to do. We read over in 2 Thessalonians, what if we're walking with the Lord and we're a true believer, we will be removed from this earth. I believe this with all my heart. Before all this mess becomes upon the earth, you know, the first 3.5 years is going to be a kind of in a peaceful situation, but in mid-trib, all hell's going to break out in the middle of Jacob's trouble. But I want to go over and show you something in Revelation chapter 13 about this now to help you. Yeah, verse 1. Now, this John's writing this by the Spirit of God. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. So it says up here that he stood upon the sand of the sea. Well, I think that's the Sea of Nations. And saw a beast rise up out of the Sea of Nations, okay, having 7, he's going to tell us in a moment who this will be, and having 7 heads and 10 horns. So he had 7 heads on him and 10 horns. So that means some of those heads had more than one horn on it, because there's 10. And upon his horns, 10 crowns. And upon his heads, what? The name of blasphemy. Well, what would be those 7 heads all about? I believe it's a picture here showing you and I of all the kingdoms that came against the nation of Israel all down through time, that's going to culminate in the book here, what God's writing down in the book of Revelation. Who do we have? We have Egypt. We have the Babylonians. We have the Medes and the Persians. We have Greeks, the Grecians, the Grecian Empire. And then we had the Roman Empire. And we see all these kingdoms that were controlled and ruled by, as Donna mentioned a moment ago, by Hasatan, by Satan. And so upon his heads were the name of blasphemy. So all these kingdoms blasphemed the God of Israel. And so God made it up in his mind that he was going to take care of anything that was against what he was planning to do. And so we know this is what the plan was the last 7 years with the false Messiah, is to what? To change things. They want this one world government. They want to control everybody. Well, we're finding out as we go along here that will never happen. Now, verse 2 says this, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. Now, in Daniel's vision, in Daniel, what did the leopard represent? It represented who? Greece. Why was it a leopard? Because he conquered the world so swiftly. And his feet were as the feet of a bear. Well, who did the bear represent? The Medes and the Persians. They tore with their claws, okay? And his mouth as the mouth of a lion. What did the lion represent? The Babylonians. And the dragon gave him what? His power and his seat and great authority. So here he's mentioned the same animals that was mentioned in Daniel, showing you these empires that are going to be there. But now we're going to find out what God's going to do with all this. Now, verse 3 says this, and I saw one of the heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Now, we hear this all the time being taught in the church, that the Antichrist is going to be killed, and then he's going to be raised from the dead, and everybody's going to follow him. It doesn't say he's going to be killed. It says one of his heads, one of those 7 heads, is going to be the one that's going to be, he's not going to be killed, but he's going to be wounded so enough that he's going to be put down. So what's being said here? He's going to say that in this verse 3, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. Hear this? And all the world wondered after the beast. So this spirit will be restored to its what? To its former power and destruction that it had. So it's just going to be like, it's going to be renewed. We have
it
one
says, as it was wounded.
As it was
doesn't
wounded.
Mean it was, doesn't
that's
say
right.
It was, it actually died.
Right. And we see over here in Revelation chapter 17, I think it is, real quick. You can stay where you're at. I just want to read this to you. 17 says, where was it at here? Yeah, right here. Verse 17:8 says this, the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. Okay.
Yes.
Now think about it. A body's not going to come out of the bottomless pit. It's a spirit that was controlling this man
right.
And go into perdition. So we see this all right here. It's explained quite well. And so who do you think might have been one of those 7 heads that was destroyed? You know, not destroyed, but what would I call it? He was conquered and he was put down, and then he's rising back up again. It's going on right now over in the Middle East to be a resurrected power to take over and try to conquer the world at the end. So to me, the first one that was mentioned here was the leopard. The leopard represents Greece, and we know Antiochus Epiphanes came out of the Grecian Empire. So it sounds to me like that this will be the spirit of Greece that's going to be there, the one that's going to be wounded, but he's going to come back, and then he's going to start to take over the world. Amen? Now, verse 4, and it says, and they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. Who's the beast here? The false Messiah. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, who's this? The false Messiah, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. So it shows you he's going to pop up at mid-tribulation, and he's going to have 42 months, and it's going to be all over for him. You can read the rest of Revelation chapter 19. You see what's going to happen to him. Verse 6, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. See this? It was given to him. Well, who gave it to him? Huh? And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Well, HaSatan's behind this. Satan, right? Now we go on to verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, the false Messiah, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. John said, right, stop. He paused and said that. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Hallelujah. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast. Who's this one now? The false prophet. Coming up out of the earth. You know. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. So it's going to be a religious thing. Two horns like a lamb. Contradicting one another. Something from Christianity and something from the Muslims. They don't mix together. We know that. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast, which dwell therein, to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound, here says what, was healed, or it was revived. Okay, the spirit behind it was revived. This is an interesting thought here. When we talk about the earth, we're talking about the land of Israel. So in Israel, where this is all going to manifest. Verse 13, and he doeth great wonders, to that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Wow, they're going to follow him. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth, in the land of Israel especially. The means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the false Messiah, the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and what did live, or live again, huh? And he had power to give life into the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom, John says. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So, we've had a lot of thoughts on that. I'm not going to go into that today. I could probably share some things, but I'm not going to do that. And so it's interesting. We see all this in chapter 13 about this false Messiah and how he's going to come up and where he's from. Now, my wife's had a thought for years that the false Messiah could come out of Syria. And it could. Turkey. It's up in the north also. And so, see, remember the battle between the north and the south. And, you know, Turkey at one time was a Christian nation. Well, it's all just about all Muslims now. And so we see the change in the environment and the atmosphere that's going on in the world today. And so it's all been prophesied right here in chapter 13, telling you how it's going to manifest and all that. So anyway, the false Messiah will not be killed, okay? One of the heads that was controlling, that he was used to control different things, and Satan's behind all this, we know that. One of those heads of one of those kingdoms is going to be the one that's going to rise up at the end. It's going to be renewed. His power is going to be increased. And what's going to happen? He's going to become the false Messiah. People are going to follow him. And because what? Because we're going to see all these false miracles and stuff that's going to happen. And I always thought about this. You know, people teach that the false Messiah is doing all these miracles. It didn't say that. The false prophet is doing all those miracles in front of the false Messiah, and people are going to follow the false prophet. So we just talked about this lamb here. It had two horns. Well,
that's what Jesus warned about, not going out to the desert.
That's right. He sure did.
And not going out to places where you see things like this happening, because there is false prophet.
That's
and
right.
False miracles.
That's right.
And false signs and wonders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the enemy, he's a copycat.
Sure is.
And he wants us to believe and follow him.
And follow a lie.
Just like they followed Antiochus Epiphanes.
Yep.
They followed him. They had fear. They followed him.
That's right.
Well, you know, God doesn't give you a spirit of fear.
No, he doesn't.
No,
thank
says,
you, Lord.
He says that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And so when fear tries to take over, we need to be cautious.
That's right.
And see, where's it coming from?
Mm-hmm. So, you know, what God's trying to show with us, all of us, is we should have no fear whatsoever, because we're with Christ. He gave us the foreshadow. He's showing you in Daniel how it's all going to come to a conclusion. And then we have the book of Revelation that brings the culmination of all of it and shows you what's going to happen to the false Messiah and the false prophet at the end. You know, like right now, there's no one in hell right now. There's no one in hell.
No.
Now, they're in a wicked place, but no, they're not in hell. The first two that tells you in Revelation is going to go into that place called...
The lake of fire.
Yeah, the lake of fire. Who are they? It's the false Messiah and the false prophet will be the first two, okay?
Right.
And that time hasn't come yet.
There is a hell.
There is a hell.
But it's like when Jesus talked about, you know, the rich man and the poor man. It wasn't a lake of fire, but there is a place of burning, and where those who are not with the Lord, because those who are not with the Lord are not in heaven right
That's
now.
Right.
Waiting to be put into hell. No, they're in another place that they're not in heaven. And so they're in a place called hell, but it's not the lake of fire.
That's right.
Just because there's different, it's like different compartments, you know, and just think about that, think about it that way. But, you know, this is why, see, if you don't ask Jesus into your heart before all these things happen, before the catching away
or that departure, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then that's why it's important for people to come to the Lord because then when you're caught away, you won't go through this, because if you're left here to go through this,
Phew.
You are most likely going to die a martyr's death, like those people did during Antiochus's time.
40,000 at one time killed.
Right, you'll most likely die a martyr's death because of the mark of the beast, and we haven't talked about that. You'll have to take the mark of the beast. You'll have to, if you want to eat, you want your family to eat, and you know many, many people
or
will
to buy
do that,
anything, yeah.
Or to buy anything, and many people will do that because they don't want to starve to death. They don't want their children to starve to death. You know, people don't want to. You don't want to see your children. You don't want to see children starve to death. So many people will compromise and take the mark of the beast. But those who won't are going to most likely die a martyr's death. So what would you say, Pastor Gene? People need to know. People need to get born again.
They need to have Yeshua in their life.
That's right. So if you haven't asked Jesus into your life,
that's right.
You need to
ask. Today's a good day.
Today's a good day. Ask Jesus to come into your life. Ask him to forgive you your sins. Repent. And, you know, we must turn from our wicked ways.
Simple prayer.
And simple prayer. And pray that prayer. Go ahead and pray with them, Pastor Gene. Pray that prayer to ask Jesus to come into your heart. And to know that you're saved, and you'll know that you won't go through this terrible time called Jacob's trouble. See, it's not for the church.
Nope.
It's not for believers. It's for those who. It's an end times.
It's called Jacob's trouble.
Called Jacob's trouble, which means Jacob's name.
Trouble.
Remember, Jacob's name was changed to Israel.
That's right.
So it's really Israel's trouble. And it says, you know, and many people in Israel will be saved in one day. The Bible
says there can be
salvation in one day. And nations be saved in one day. And the answer is yes. And what nation is that? I think it's Israel.
That's right. So if you'd like to receive Christ today, as we come down to the conclusion of our program today, we would just ask you.
Yes.
The key thing here is, you know, God's wanting us to know that we don't follow everything that we hear. We have a lot of things that people are teaching and all, even in the church, that are not truth. And people are following after this. And so you want to follow after the Lord and what the book says and nothing else.
Thank you, Lord.
So, Lord, we just bring these people before you. They might be praying with us right now. And we thank you that you told them in your word that they would confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in him, that he died and rose from the grave for them, that they would be saved. And so right now we ask you for what the scripture said, with your heart faith, not just words, but with heart faith, okay? You shall believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth, what? Confession is made unto salvation. So you confess the Lord as your Lord and Savior. He rose from the grave for you so you could have life and live with him forever. So, Lord, we thank you for anyone that prayed. It's a simple prayer to ask Yeshua, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, to come into their heart, into their lives. And you will change them. They'll walk a new walk, and they'll never be the same again. I did it on the side of the road 1 year, 35 years ago. And so we've all had that moment. And so this might be your moment. You're listening right now. This might be your moment today to step into the kingdom of God, and you'll have confidence in your heart. You'll know that you know that you know that you belong to Christ, and he will take care of you. So, Lord, we thank you for that in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen.
Wash away our sins as far as the east is from
the west. That's right.
And give us new life.
We'll start all over.
It's called being born again.
That's it.
Being born from above.
That's right. So hallelujah on that one.
If you've prayed that prayer and you've asked Jesus to come into your heart, give us a call.
Tell us.
And we'd be glad to pray with you and rejoice with you and go to church. Find a Bible teaching church and go to church and start worshiping God. Amen. The name of our church is called Spirit of Prophecy, and it comes from out of Revelation 19:10, which says, and we're right there near Revelation 19, aren't we? It says, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And God wants us to know the prophetic things that are happening.
Hallelujah.
That are
with no fear.
In the future.
Mm-hmm.
He has a good future for us.
That's right. So keep that in mind, even you believers that are listening here today. We can't believe everything that comes down the pike. You know, people read all these books and stuff. Well, how much of it is really truth? I've got books I've read, and these people said this and that's going to happen, and as years went by, it's not happened. And so why do we get worked up over all that? Let's just stick with the Word of God. He's telling us what's going to happen. He gave you Daniel as a pattern, a foreshadow, and now we have the book of Revelation showing the completeness of all of that. So we should have no concern. We should have no fear about it. We are in the kingdom of God, and the Bible tells us we have not been appointed to what? To God's wrath in any way, shape, or form. Isn't that true? Well, I'm just thinking about that one, Pastor Don. Let's go over to, First Thessalonians with you for a moment. I believe it's over here. Hallelujah. Chapter 5 is where I want to go. Listen to this, what God said here. I'm not going to read this whole thing. We know when you come to the Lord, you're going to become a child of the light. The darkness is going to be dispelled out of your life. He's bringing you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So I'm reading here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says this right here. He said, but let us who are in the day be sober, means self-control, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Now listen to this. For God hath not appointed us to what? To wrath. Well, Jacob's trouble will be wrath. You're not going to be there. But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. So, look at all this right here. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Poosh. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
So we have a great promise. We won't go through the wrath that's going to be on this earth. It's going to be brought forth because of what the world has done and tried to, you know, they're shaking their fist at God. We see that even in the book of Revelation when all these judgments come. Standing up, they're shaking their fist at God. But we have to walk with him. So I want to say this again. If you come to Christ and you truly love him and you walk with him, you will not be during those 7-year periods. You won't be there. You're going to be in a heavenly realm. We're going to see some things from heaven that's going to really surprise us and shock us probably what's going to happen on the earth. But we're not going to go through that. We have not been appointed to his wrath. We just read that again. I'm going to say it again. We have not been appointed to his wrath. We've been appointed to what? To life. Life eternity.
Abundant life.
And so
life.
We praise God for that, just to know who we belong to. So I think Hanukkah is a very important time for the church. You know, a lot of people tell me, well, Gene, that's a Jewish thing. Well, it might be Jewish, but let me ask you this. If you're a born-again believer, are you grafted in? Are you grafted? Let's tell you over there. in Romans chapter 11.
That's right.
Are you grafted in?
Yeah,
you are. So we become part. You know, we're spiritual Jews. I love to think about it.
Right.
I'm a spiritual Jew. And so we're sucking the sap from them. Like talk about a tree. We're taking sap from
we're
them.
We're part of Israel.
That's right. We're part of that. And so praise God we're part of that. And so...
Where's that? Romans chapter 11, right?
Yeah, Romans chapter 11. It tells you that we've been grafted in. And so, Father, we thank you for that we've been grafted. So this should help us. We should have no fear, and we should be continually thinking about you, dedicating ourselves, looking at the way we walk with one another. Do we honor and respect each other? Do we tell somebody we love them, and yet we don't want to have nothing to do with them? What kind of love is that? And we got all the denominational things. You know, well, if you're not in my church, well, you're not part. Well, we've heard this for years, but see, there's neither Jew nor Greek. Hallelujah. There's no ethnic difference. God looks at mankind. He wants everyone. He's not willing that one would perish. He wants all, not some. He wants all to come to repentance and come to Christ. And so that's his whole plan. That's what his son came to this earth for, was to bring reconciliation and the separation between God and man. Hallelujah. You know, way back, you know, when the priesthood went into the temple and the high priest went in behind that veil and all, well, they were standing there representing the people to God and God to the people. Well, today we don't have that. What do we have? We're the temple of God. God dwells in us. And so isn't it a privilege just to think about it, that God dwells in me. He dwells in you. We're the temple of the Most High God. And so we want to keep it pure and holy. And we want to walk together the right way and love one another, the truth and all, and have the truth and nothing else. And so, that's why Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life, and no man cometh to the Father except by me. So we want all his attributes in our lives. And so I think Hannah is a summation of all of it, just to kind of show us the way we need to be. And thank God for the Maccabees, you know, the family, and Judas the Maccabee, the hammer, and that one family would said, no, this is not going to happen. What happened in Esther and Mordecai's day? Two people, huh? Mordecai and Esther, no, we're not going to let this happen. Well, we have to stand the same way in America. Say, no, this is not going to happen. And God's put a man in office that's going to help us, help the world and our country see the way. And all the naysayers are going to wind up one day just putting it, they'll be put down completely. But there, all the things that are going on that's contrary to God, we want to embrace everything. So don't believe everything that you read or you hear. Look in your Bible and see what the Bible tells you about that. We have all these in-depth teachings and all that are so deep that most people couldn't understand many of. The Bible, the gospel is a simple, simple message. Jesus Christ died for you. Shed his blood to cover your sins.
Thank you, Lord.
Not to cover them, to remove them, I should
remove
say.
Them.
And then 3 days later, he rose from the grave. And without the resurrection, you would not be saved.
Amen.
That's the message.
Hallelujah.
That's the message. Everywhere Paul and the apostles went in the book of Acts, that's all they talked about. Jesus Christ died. Huh? He died and rose from the grave. That's what they preached. And so what happened? They were persecuted, mocked, and made fun of also. So we got so much going on in our country, we need to get back to the basic thing, the basic gospel. It's so simple. I love reading the book of Acts, what they did. Simple things that people didn't even know about. Boom, they came to Christ, and all of a sudden, their eyes were open. And some of the moment they came to Christ, what happened? They were baptized in the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues even today. The people are saying we can't do today, which is a lie also. But anyway, all
Jews and Gentiles.
That's right. That's right. And
it's
for about 13
Korea,
years, there was only Jews in the kingdom of God until
Cornelius
came. And so, and then everyone started to come in. But the sad thing was there was so many Gentiles coming in at that time. Well, then the Gentiles tried to change everything that God put in place with the Jewish people. And we've got that today. We've been robbed of our Jewish roots. And
that's what
they did way back in 325 AD. Slowly removed all the stuff, the Romans and all that, what they did. And so we need to get back to the truth, not listen to all this other stuff that's going on. See, God doesn't want denominationalism. I'll just say that right up. Somebody might not like that. You know, when we get to heaven, there'll be no denominationalism. There'll be no one place for the Baptists and Presbyterians and all that.
Methodists, whatever.
It won't be. It'll be one in Christ, nothing else. And so we got to knock down all that stuff. And so we got to be in a place where we're being taught, trained, and activated that gives you the whole truth and not part of it, or tell you this is not being done today. This book I got in my hands right here, everything in here, God intends for that to be done today. He has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today and forever, and I'll stand on that until I die or until I get caught off of this earth. This is His word, and I'm standing on that. So I'm not going to let anybody come down the pike and fool me with all these things that we got being written today, all this stuff. So just be aware. Open up your eyes. Ask the Lord to show you. If you're born again, you got the Spirit of God dwelling in you, and so you can have the truth given to you. You got the book, and you ask Him, show Him. You know, I've talked about my book all a lot of many times on here that I wrote. About the pictures of the Messiah. Well, a lot of places I got stuck. I did. I didn't have an answer. So I just closed my Bible up like I'm going to do right now. I closed it up. And I said, Lord, I need your help. I don't need some other book or some commentary from somebody that was written 200-300 years ago. I need right now. I need truth right now.
The Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost. And so I would pray. And sometimes I'd get it immediately. Sometimes it was 2 or 3 days later. And then bingo, He'd tell me where to go and I'd find it. And that's what I put
Amen.
In the book.
Amen. Amen.
So we
God.
That's what we, this is it.
That's why this radio program is called Raising the Standard, because we want to raise the standard in our life first and also in the lives of those who listen to this radio broadcast.
That's right.
And so that's why we're on every week to raise the standard and to be able to teach the truth of God's Word and to bring forth more things about the roots of Israel, Jewish roots.
That's right.
Actually, they're called the Feasts of the Lord.
Feast
they're not
the
called
Lord.
The Feasts of the Jews.
That's
or
right.
The Lord's. Israel, they're called the Feasts of the Lord. Anywhere in the Bible,
Lord.
You'll find it. Only says the Feasts of the
of
Lord.
The Lord. That's right.
Well, this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton, and we are blessed to be with you every Saturday, Lord willing, as long as He would have us to be on this radio broadcast. And we also want to mention that we're on the internet, so you can go back and listen to this over again if you
yes.
want. Because I know Pastor Gene teaches sometimes a little fast, and you want to get the scriptures, and you want to listen to it again because you want to study. So you can go back and listen to this broadcast again, or you can give us a phone call. We'd be glad to send you a CD of it. And I also want to mention that we do have we'll be celebrating Hanukkah this week, and to also
tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow. We're going to have a celebration. We'll have some latkes, amen. Potato pancakes and some other things. We'll have a celebration. So, you know, maybe you want to come and celebrate with us. That's going to be on Sunday, the first day of the week at 11 o'clock a.m. So the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007.
That's right. So we're honored to be here with you again this week, and
Amen.
It's a privilege to do it, and we've been doing this 20 plus years. We love you very much, and I haven't said much about it, but we'd certainly appreciate if somebody would think about it. You may have been listening to this program for a year or longer or less, maybe to send an offering to us.
That's right.
And to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries at Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida, 34995, and it would help us to continue. You know, these programs are not free. Yeah, but we enjoy doing it, and so we trust and we know that you got something out of this today, because Hanukkah is a very, very important time of the year. And most people in the church take it kind of lightly, but we don't. We know what it means and what it represents, and we should be dedicating ourselves all the time
Amen.
To the Lord.
Dedication.
So as we close this program, we tell you to look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. And what do we say, Pastor Donna?
Shabbat, Shalom, Sabbath, peace, and rest.
We are
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of Prophecy. Thank you.